Hey there, welcome to this Truth Talk where we have real, raw, and honest conversations about life. Today we're going to be talking about how to get hope back in your life, and we have a special guest. Her name is Jackie. Today's conversation brought me so much encouragement and so much joy with Jackie because we talk about what hope killers are. We talk about how to move through hope killers. So for example, a hope killer would be something like doubt. It could be fear. And Jackie walks us through this process of how to either let one of those hope killers take us away from our faith or move us closer to faith. After defeating a terminal cancer diagnosis, Jackie was committed to really serving women through empathy that targets the feeling of hopelessness. She is all about bringing hope to women in every single season of somebody's life. And I love that, seasons of struggle, to bring them hope. I love that she says, "I'm a licensed hope coach." She's a pastor's wife. She's a seasoned ministry leader and writer, and really, her heart is for women of all ages facing their own overwhelming challenges. If you are feeling doubt, if you are feeling discouraged, if you are feeling fear, today's episode is for you. Jackie, I am thrilled that you're here with us today because we're going to be talking about hope killers. And I think it's a new name. People are probably wondering, well, what's a hope killer? So let's just go ahead and start with that.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. I'm excited to have this conversation with you. I love this topic. You know, hope killers for me, they are just really anything that crushes hope in a specific situation. So for example, you know, there's comparison, there's fear, there's doubt, really anything that pushes your hope down from rising and keeps us from experiencing breakthrough in our current situation. So specifically for women. And then a lot of times, like, what I think hope killers are really rooted in is just the lie that our situations are hopeless. Like, that's the biggest lie. We look at our situations, if we're suffering or if we're in a group of women and we're comparing, if we have fear in taking a specific decision or a job, there's these lies that come up. And so these hope killers are rooted in these lies that our situations are just hopeless, you know? It kind of reminds me of when Jesus says to the disciples, you know, get in the boat. We're going to the other side. And then when they get in the boat, the storm hits, right? And so The disciples at that point, they begin to doubt and they begin to get weary. But the promise of the Lord was not that there wasn't a storm coming. It was that they were going to get to the other side. So the promise was already there. Mm-hmm. And so the goal of these hope killers is really to force you to doubt or to fear the promises of God. And, with that happening, we end up judging our story before God really reveals his hand. And we have to remember, God hasn't stopped writing our story. Like, if the Bible says, if you are in Christ, that the script is sure, that what your eye cannot see, what your ear cannot hear, what your heart cannot imagine, now the Lord is actually preparing for you. Like, the promise is already there. And so that's really what hope killers do. They try to just lie after lie after lie, place them there, and then have you from experiencing breakthrough in the promises of God.
Yeah. I think for me, a huge like awakening and revelation I had with scripture and all the things was not living by my senses. And we do that so much. We live by what we see. We live by what we feel. We live by what we touch. And scripture's like, no, we don't. Those are good indicators. Like, we have those, right? Because they give us awareness of our surroundings. But to live by what we see is hard to hold on to the promises of God, right? Because we can pray for something, but not see it, but know it's done. You know, we can stand on that versus seeing it. So I want to talk about this idea though, that it's really easy for us to live by what we see, or we go, oh, you know what? Doubting, it's not really that big of a deal, or feeling this way, can it really affect me? Can you talk about the long-term effects of letting our feelings kind of run course versus kind of putting them into submission?
Wow, absolutely. You know, when you say it's hard, like when we don't see, right? I think a lot of times we we think that the presence of silence equals the absence of our God. And it's dark in the moment, you know, through suffering or whatever it is that we're going through, especially through doubt, because at that point, we don't know what's true and from what's not true. And a lot of times we head into this mindset that the presence of this silence, of this darkness equals the absence of God. But I truly believe that the Bible actually welcomes doubt in these certain situations. You know, we see it throughout the scriptures. Anyone who really ever doubted, Jesus actually welcomed them. He welcomed their questions. Now, at times, slightly rebuked them, but he never really rejected them. And so I believe that all of us struggle with doubt in some point or another. The question is, does our doubt really lead to our faith, or does it lead to the dismissal of it? Because like, I'm such a visual learner. And so I love how James gives us just a clear picture of doubt. He says that the one that doubts is like the waves of the sea. And he says that they're driven and they're tossed by the wind. And so there's this instability, right, that a doubter carries, that he is like a double-minded man is what the Bible says. And so if you think about that word double-minded, it really means to just go back and forth on a situation, right? Your decisions, your emotions, your thoughts, they're actually split now. And so as doubters, we essentially become spiritually schizophrenic. And in the process, we lack this confident hope, right? In what God will do. And furthermore, give us through our current situation. But this specific type of doubt is really the doubt that leads to the dismissal of our faith. Mm-hmm. You know, it brings this faulty perception of our situations. And it's really just like a God's view versus my view kind of thing, right? Yeah. And so the mind of a doubter is always kind of questioning, never really arriving to any truth. And this is dangerous territory, because the doubt that leads to your faith actually understands that Jesus is enough. But the doubt that doesn't lead to your faith, that leads you away from it, is under the impression that Jesus is not enough. And so, you know, when I think about that, I think about Philip too in the Bible on the night that Jesus got arrested. You know, he says, "Lord, show us the Father, and that's going to be enough for us. Like, show us the Father." And he's looking at Jesus, right? And then Jesus just replies like, "Listen, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." Like, hello, like, let's recognize, right?
Yeah.
And so what this really teaches us is just that we really have to just stop searching outside of the personal ministry of Jesus to find our answers in these specific current situations. Like, we have him. We have him. He is enough. And, you know, as much as the lies will come, there's still promises that stand true. So
no, I think that's a beautiful example. I was talking with a friend recently and we were on a walk and just going through the story, but these words came out of my mouth of sadness can lead us to wholeness. And it's a beautiful picture of, like you said, doubt can lead me to faith. It's this idea that there's something, I don't want to say missing, but just that needs to be pruned, that needs to be healed, that needs to be worked through. And the Lord's like, "That's cool. Like, now we're going to do it together," right? But it's when we let our feelings lead us away is where it gets really messy. And I always say, you know, truth will always lead us to restoration and healing, and a lie will always lead us to destruction or, you know, deceit and all those things. And I think that that is super important for us to remember of which way are we going. And something that I'm really passionate about is, yeah, let's people feel what they feel. But we can't just leave them there,
right?
You know, it's then that becomes even more overwhelming. We need to go from feeling to healing. So why is this topic so important to you, Jackie?
Yeah, you know, a couple of years ago, I actually fell into deep depression. And I went through just a really hard time. I was diagnosed with terminal cancer and I was given 6 months to live. And
now she's super beautiful. So yeah. You have to go follow her. That's the first thing I said. I was like, "Girl, so beautiful."
The Lord is so good. He's sustained and he's held me through, and I've been able to walk with hope in hand, right, with him. And I'm here, you know, a couple years later, able to be with my kids and my husband and leading women's ministry. And but it's just such an important topic, because you know, it wasn't like my faith was just so strong. And all of a sudden there was this revelation, right? It was really just a process of sanctification. It was a process of mourning and grieving. It was just a process. But throughout, what did stand out was just the Lord is ever present and he doesn't leave us or forsake us. And that's why this topic is just so passionate for me, because that happening, I just had this urgency, this desire, right? To just tell women about the God that stayed with me the entire time, about the God who brought me through, about the God who was victorious over this situation. And so if I could do anything in life, it's to walk beside those who are hurting for the sake of the gospel and the encouragement of others.
Yeah, I've been reading in Isaiah, and I feel like it's taking me so long to go through like Isaiah, and I still have ways to go. But Isaiah, we were talking about seeing and all the things. And there's this beautiful picture, though, of the prophets were kind of people's hope, because they would speak a prophecy, a prophetic word, and it'd be 200 or 300 years before these people would see. But, you know, in most generations wouldn't even see the prophecy come to life. And the only thing they could hold on to was they would continue to pray. Right. And they would continue to pray for their deliverance, but they didn't see it, but they believed that it was coming. And I think that that has kind of been like really empowering for me lately, of these people didn't see it. Like, I mean, it would be hundreds of years, right, before these prophetic words or this prophecy would come about, and many generations wouldn't see it, but yeah, they believed with all that they had. And I would say, I want to be that person that believes with all they have. How do you feel about that?
Oh my goodness. I love that. I want to be that person too. I definitely want to be that person. It is something that it's so hard to do, but, you know, like Hebrews says in the Bible, it says that faith is really just the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that are not seen. And so I love that, because the word assurance really means to stand on a guarantee, right?
Yeah.
And that word evidence resembles this title or a deed. And so like you have the title of your car and I'll have the title of my house. There's this evidence that shows that we own these things, right? And so spiritually speaking, this is essentially saying that our faith is the guaranteed title agreement. It's the deed in which we face our circumstances, right? And we claim victory over them. You know, the deed is really all that we need.
Yeah.
Faith is really all that we need. And so because it's been validated and it's been stamped with the blood of Christ on the cross, it's really just rooted in who Christ says he is. And it's rooted in his promises. And so it's not the title plus something else. Remember, we don't want to be that back and forth schizophrenic. We don't want that spiritual schizophrenia, but it's really our job to take that deed of faith into our circumstances and carry it out. And walk it out for ourselves, for our walk, but also for those who are looking in, right? Mm-hmm. We have a cloud of witnesses.
Yeah.
And so really God is calling us to be victors over our doubt and to be victors over our situations, not victims. Mm-hmm. And faith is just such an important step in becoming victorious in that, because it's not what you see. Yeah. It's those things that are not seen that are going to bring God the glory. So hang in there.
Yeah. And I think one word that you said that is so like important to me is responsibility.
Mm.
Because I think sometimes we put, don't listen to what I'm not saying, but we put all of it on God and we kind of sit back versus walking with him. You know, he wants to do it in us and through us, but he can't just do it. He's looking for bodies. Mm. Like, will you bring heaven to earth through you? Because I need somebody that will agree with me so that my power can manifest. Because it says these signs will follow those who believe. So we don't chase the signs as believers. We just know the signs come because the power. So we don't have to believe that they'll come because we know that they'll come.
Absolutely.
And so I think that was huge for me of my own walk with God in healing. I had to stop blaming people for my situation and what I was going through. I was like 26 and blaming my parents for how I was feeling. I'm like, you're 26. You've been on your own for how many years? And it sounds like for a lot of people, that's scary. And it was scary for me, trust me. But there is this, I don't want to say empowerment, like cheesy, like, you know, cheerleader person. But when you walk this and you start to say like, okay, God, what do you say about forgiveness? And that's where we cringe, right? Because it's like, well, my son went to the cross for yours. What are you doing for the other people?
Absolutely.
And I know it's a tricky situation, but I just think that what you said was so true of just this reality. But I know people love lists. You know, like, okay, Jackie, tell me, how do I go from point A to point B? So why don't you just share maybe, I don't know, 3 steps, 5 steps, or something that you walk through personally of, if I'm in a hope killer, how do I then get to the healing aspect, to the truth, to my faith?
Yeah. So if you don't mind, before I get there, I God is placing the story of Peter on my heart to share. And you know, because you were saying how it's not really just, it's not God's fault. Like, we have to take the steps, right? He's telling us what to do. He's commanding us to go forward, but we're scared, or these hope killers come in and we don't move. And so I just resonate with the story of Peter so much, because when Peter was commanded from Jesus, you know, to walk on water, and hear me, family, those who are listening, like, sometimes God is going to call us out, you know, out of the safety of our normalcy and our environments, our everyday lives. And he's going to send us into these crazy waters of the sea, like he did with Peter. And much like Jesus was there for Peter, Jesus is also there for us. There's a promise there. But whatever hope killer is trying to come for us, know that it came for Peter this day as well. So you're not alone. Like, this is not something that just is happening to you. Like, you're not alone. We're in this together. You know, the Bible talks about many, many people in the Bible who struggled through this as well. And so what the beautiful thing about it is that it just blows my mind how Peter stood on the grounds of the miraculous, but then he allowed this hope killer to get the best of him, like we do sometimes, right? Yeah. And so we have to understand that if we let these hope killers have their way through our suffering, that we're going to miss the miracle amidst it. We're going to start sinking. And so the promise that we have in the midst of our sinking is really that God is there, that God is there, and that he's commanding us to do something that may feel uncomfortable, but it most likely is for the best of us, for the best of our spiritual walk, for the best of our spiritual growth, for the best of others around us, for our personal healing. And so I also love that the word sink itself, it means to gradually go under, this being a slow submerged like person, like we're going down slowly. And so when we are sinking, we have hope in God's grace, right? This is not something that just happens immediately. God's grace abounds in the moment, and ultimately it produces our cries to Jesus, and it gives us the awareness to really reach out and grab his hand. And so practically, these hope killers in our situations, they're not a dead end, but a hopeful doorway back to our faith. And so I think one of the most practical things that we can do when we are gradually sinking is, like Peter, to just reach out our hand to God, whether that's going back into his word, whether that's reminding ourselves of the promises of God. You know, one of the things that I had to do constantly in my cancer journey was not to so much think of the unknown, which is terrifying, but to really think of the things that I knew to be true of the Lord. What are those things that I know that are true of God, that he is present, that he will never leave us, that he will walk before us, that he has established our lives already, you know, that he wants good, you know, that we are to prosper with him. Mm-hmm. And so a couple of those practical things, they look like journaling, they look like praying, they look like, you know, and I may be talking about the basics, but it starts there, right? There's a lot of people that can't even do the basics during suffering.
I would
start there for sure.
I love that you gave practical examples. And in my head, I kept thinking, the enemy likes to convince us we don't have a choice. You know, and I think he's really convinced us, especially in our thought life, that what I think, I don't have a choice to. And that's super important to me, because I was a pessimist. I saw everything negative through the lens of just the victim and everybody, like the world. I feel like the world owed me because of the pain that I went through. I was like, you're going to give me this. And it's just like self-righteousness and entitlement. But I think that the enemy really tries to convince us that we don't have a choice, like you said, like of just in so many words, you didn't say we didn't have a choice, but it really is just the responsibility, the moving, the healing, us making the choice to reach out, you know, to the hand. And I'm also learning a lot too about just the relational side of our brain and the emotional side of people. God uses people for that, for us to be able to experience him relationally in a physical body. It's through people.
Mm. Community is so essential, especially during these times. And like you said, people, they can be your small group. They can be your church. They can be your family. They can be your counselor. Mm-hmm. There's so many stigmas against counselors and medication and things like that. Like, listen, when these hope killers come, like anxiety and depression, you may need to seek a doctor. You may need to seek a counselor, you know, and community is just so essential, because what happens is it helps you walk with people that have gone through the same thing. You know, it's biblical. You know, God himself is three in one. Like he is essentially community. And so it's just so, so important for our daily lives.
Yeah. I don't know about you, Jackie, but I know when I was physically healing, nothing, of course, along your lines, but still healing is the physical healing. I had to be super careful about who I allowed to speak into my life. Mm. I don't know about you, but there is a lot of times where why do we say weird things as Christians?
You know what I'm saying? Weird. Yes.
Some of the things that we say. And so for me, I would often say like, I don't receive that. You know, or because they would say, you know, things like, well, maybe God wants to give this to you to teach you a lesson, and or maybe you're supposed to, you know, just things that we say. And I would love for you to maybe just speak to that, because speak to the surroundings and how you listen and what we hear, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we get our faith by hearing the word of God, but we also get doubt by hearing. And so can you talk a little about that? Cause I know I had like one friend and it was my best friend. And I was like, listen, I can only hear your voice. Cause she was like, you're healed. You're good. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if I let somebody else, it'd be like, oh, well, I've been through that. And I'm so, you know, like,
yeah. You know, I think a lot of times it's just, we have ourselves in the way of helping people. I think the most important thing that we can do with someone is just listen to their pain. And it's so hard. I don't know why for people. And I've fallen into this too, where we just want to help and we want to fix and we want to serve. But sometimes just sitting down and listening to someone's pain, meeting them there, you know, I had a lot of people tell me, oh, you're going to be okay because God is good and he's on your side. And listen, yes,
it's good. It's true.
It's so true. But at the moment, I needed someone to meet me in my pain. Yeah, I needed someone to say, man, this hurts, right? Tell me about it.
Yeah.
You need somebody to cry with? Do I need to encourage you? How can I encourage you?
Yeah.
You know, like, do you need food? I don't even have to say anything. Do you just want me to sit here?
Yeah.
Like, and so I think a lot of times we place ourselves in the way of what the Lord is trying to do and how he's trying to heal with the people around us. And I mean, if you're this person, you know, give yourself grace.
Yeah.
If you're the
no
person.
No condemnation here, because we've all been there. Trust me. We've all been there.
Exactly. So give yourself grace. But at the same time, you know, what are some ways that you can practice listening, right? What are some ways that you can understand yourself better and how to react in these particular situations with people who are hurting, right? The biggest thing that I had to do personally was, not through my cancer journey, but being someone to encourage others and not really have myself in the way. The biggest thing that I had to do was ask the people around me, hey, am I a good listener?
Yeah.
Like, have I been there for you recently in a way that didn't push or project my own feelings on you? And so I think that's very, very important for us to just discipline ourselves in if we are that person. And if we're on the other end of the receiving end and we hear this person, I think we have to understand to not only give them the benefit of the doubt, but see the best in them, right? Mm-hmm. I know when people were doing it to me, when they were saying, God is good and you're going to be fine and don't worry about it, don't cry, you don't have to do that. When they're saying those things, I think, you know, I see the best in them, right? I know that they want my good. I know that they want to encourage me. Mm-hmm. So I never really kind of worried about it. But if we are on that receiving end, I think it's best to just assume the best of those people. So,
yeah. No, I agree with you. I just know that I had to be very careful because you can hear so many things. And even assuming the best, you're just like, I don't want to be this right now. You know, yes. It's just like all the feels. Let me walk through this.
Yeah, we really just, one of the things that I have to understand was just that we have the good news, right? And I think a lot of times that sounds cliche and we can forget on a day-to-day basis to like preach the gospel to ourselves, to really get into a stance of humility with the Lord, of surrender, so that we are then able to approach people, right? In a Christ-like manner, in the way that the Lord did when he walked the earth. And so we have the good news. When these hope killers come, because they will, right? and the enemy starts to just whisper these things that aren't true. We have to remember the good news, like that the Bible is reliable, that Jesus' blood is enough, right? That we should not entertain the whispers of the enemy. And so that just helps us put on the full armor of Christ, right? And it helps us walk in a way worthy, like a manner worthy of the gospel to help those around us.
Yeah, no, it's good. And I think about Jesus and his disciples, like they were messy people and he was with them all the time, you know, and to me, it just shows us how much he was about character and their heart more than he was about their actions and what they did. He wanted to train them in the kingdom, you know? So, and I think that just proves like, hey, they still messed up. They still got it wrong. And they walked with Jesus. So, I mean, it doesn't give us an excuse. It just lets us know that we can get through it, you know, and we will mess up and we won't get it right. But that's why we got the word sorry and we get to repent and turn a new direction and go in a new way. So what kind of encouragement, last bit of encouragement do you want to leave for people, Jackie?
Yeah, you know, besides that we have the gospel, I think that hope within it really is, it transcends the pain and the things that we're going through. And so I would say to those who are listening, number one, that God loves you. Number one, he's good to you. And number three, when you feel like you're failing in this area or whatever area in life, and you just don't have hope, you feel like you're just in this despair, I would just say that reaching out to someone is just, it's vital. It's vital. And if that can't happen, you know, if there's no energy for that, to remember that the Holy Spirit, thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit, that he speaks on our behalf. In our groaning, the Bible says that the Lord just speaks on our behalf. The Spirit speaks to him for us. And so just remember that. Remember that all things work together for your good. For those who love the Lord, right? That the Lord is with you, that he's on our side. And so, I would just encourage those who are listening to remember that he's faithful, he is true, and he is able, and he will get you to the other side.
Yeah, amen. In, I would say Psalms and Proverbs, and even in Isaiah, I'm reading a lot of just one sentence, wait on the Lord. I keep like reading it over and over again. Wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord. And we don't like waiting. We like, I think patience is like the least favorite word of the Christian language. You know, we like treat it like the enemy. But I just think of that one scripture I just read recently of, you know, wait on the Lord and he shall renew your strength like the eagles. Mm-hmm. We shall run and we shall not grow weary. We shall walk and not faint. Mm-hmm. And there's just this beautiful picture of when we wait, it's like builds our endurance. Almost. And it builds our patience. And then we see the goodness, right, in the land of the living. And it's just like this, I don't know, it's really been changing me. I'm like, okay, time is not my enemy, right? And I keep saying that to myself because we act like it is. And I think we try to rush ahead. We try to do these things. And we have to remember our time is not our enemy. It's we on the Lord. So Jackie, thank you for being here. It's so good to see your face here on Zoom. I know you guys can't see her, but go follow her on Instagram, but I'll let her share with you where she wants you to hang out with her.
Thanks for having me. Y'all can find me in my Instagram at Jackie_Aviles. I'm just so blessed to be here today. I'm so thankful for you. And I'm excited. Hopefully we do this again.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I'll include all the links in the show notes below for you guys. And thanks for hanging out with us. Thank you so much for listening to this episode with Jackie. Whew, so good, right? I mean, she oozes Jesus and she oozes the gospel, and it literally comes right out of her mouth without even preaching specific scriptures, references. I love that about her. She is just so beautiful inside and out. Make sure you go give her a follow, show her your support, and she will continue to speak life into you, even through little squares on Instagram. If this message or this episode really encouraged you today, I'd love for you to just take a moment to leave a rating and review. It helps other people know about this podcast and really gets the word out there. I have a free guide available for you that's called Chase God, Not Your Feelings. It's all about how to live by faith and not by what you feel. Make sure you head to show notes below, grab your PDF for free so that you can learn how to chase God and not your feelings. Until next time, remember, challenge the way you think to change the way you live.